Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. There's been a lot of love for our chickens episodes. We did a whole series of episodes on chickens a while back, including what to know about chickens before you get them, feeding chickens, common ailments and health, and also integrating chickens into your garden. So if you're keen on chickens, go back and check out those episodes. But truth be told, if you are keen on chickens, you probably already have. Today, as we approach the heat of summer, now is the time to start thinking about how we're going to protect our chicks from this hot, hot weather. Elise, what have you got for us for keeping our chicks cool?
Well, we've got lots of fun options, and a lot of these are like pretty easy to integrate. You just want to think about them before the heat wave comes. Little bit of setup, and then once the hot weather comes, you are locked and loaded for looking after them. So I don't know where chickens descended from, but they really do not cope with the heat. You think about them being cold, but actually chickens are going to do a better job in the snow than what they are in temperatures above 30 degrees Celsius.
Interesting.
So it's actually more of a concern as a chicken keeper to keep them cool in summer than to keep them warm in winter. Mm. They naturally can keep themselves warm. They can't naturally cool down. So a few options. First one is some shade. Mm-hmm. This goes without saying, but it can't be understated. And also you got to make sure there's shade at all times during the day. So this whole thing with the sun moving, which we become very friendly with as gardeners, this works with the chicken coop, right? Like if you've got a tree that gives them heaps of morning shade, brilliant, but then comes afternoon when the sun's moved, if that tree is not shading them anymore, we need a different solution. I really like dual purpose things in the garden. Anyone listening to this podcast will appreciate that by now. So my shade trees for my chickens are all edibles. So I have a feijoa in the chicken run that they can't ruin. Do you know what a feijoa is?
No.
Oh, it's a green fruit that's like pink inside, like a guava.
Oh.
Yeah. We should do an episode. Yeah.
Okay.
I reckon if I showed you a photo, you'd be like, I've seen it.
Yeah. Okay.
I really like the flavor, but if you hadn't, I couldn't even describe it. Guava is like the best thing. Anyway. The feijoa tree goes wonderfully, providing shade to the chickens. I've got a lemon tree, a mandarin tree, all these kind of things. So they can hang at the bottom, shade brilliant. They're also going to shit around them and weed around them. So
yeah, nice.
Winds all around. And trees make much better shade and much better cooling than a man-made shelter. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you were sitting under a veranda of polycarb, you're going to be a lot warmer than if you're sitting under a tree.
Yeah.
Like trees naturally really cool down the area. So they're going to be the best option for the chickies. If you don't have trees in there and you can't get trees in there, some shade cloth over the roof or over like strung up somehow, really good option. I used to do that, but now the trees are big enough that I think the trees do the job, so I don't need the shade cloth. Next up, we need lots of drinking water.
Yes, of course.
Now, the thing about chickens are they can be little bitches, and in really warm weather, a lot of animals do this actually, they can get quite protective over water. So what you might find is if you only had one water dish, that a few of the more dominant chickens are going to sit down next to it and they're not going to let anyone else drink from it.
Such assholes.
I know. So look, as a chicken keeper, we know this about them. They're just doing their survival instincts. Have multiple water dishes.
Yeah, so that's just – it's an easy fix.
Having a few different – like I would say two minimum if you had, I don't know, six chickens, and then three if you've got 12 or more. Mm-hmm. I use old like pots, like casserole dishes that I no longer cook with for whatever reason. Like I just fill them up with water. So get a few of them around and don't put them next to each other. Like,
yeah.
Opposite quarters of the garden, right? Make sure it's in the shade. If water is too hot, chickens won't drink it. A little bit precious like that. A couple of ways you can keep water cool, and this goes again for any pets, is the bigger the body of water, the slower it is to heat up. So if you have a really small container, some kind of little jam jar of water, that's not going to cut the mustard. Get something really big and put heaps of water in. That's going to stay cool and also going to mean there's plenty of it available because chickens can drink a surprising amount for their little bodies. You can also put ice in it.
Oh, yeah.
Just even just freeze a Tupperware container of water. So it's like a massive ice block. Just chuck that in the water in the morning before you go to work. That'll keep it cool.
Nice one.
Yeah. Now, the next thing you can do with water is wet the ground. So on a really hot day, these kind of the shade, making sure they've got access to drinking water, that's actually not really enough. What you want to do is wet the ground and they will cool down via their feet. You never want to wet a chicken because chicken feathers are kind of waterproof. So what happens is if you wet the chicken, it almost like creates a steam.
Oh yeah.
Like it's actually...
It traps it.
Yeah, it traps it in and then it steams and actually makes them hotter. So you never wet the chicken, but you wet the ground and you wet their feet. If you're there, right, and it's a really hot day, get the hose and just wet the floor. Simple as that. Like you're watering, but you're just watering the floor of the chicken coop. If you're going to work for the day or you're going anywhere that you're not going to be there, and this is what I do, I have a sprinkler or a soaker hose or a dripper or something hooked up to one of those really basic timers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just like, come on for, I don't know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, depends on how much water it's pumping out. And I just set that to go off at 2 p.m. every day through summer. So that's just going to wet the ground, give the chickens something cool to walk on. And because I've got those fruit trees there, it's going to water the fruit trees.
Yeah,
so we've
got
both things. And then lastly, if something was to happen to their drinking water, say they managed to knock it over or some stress, they can drink from like a puddle that's like a millimeter deep on the ground. So then that's kind of like a backup water supply one way or the other. If you want to give them something to kind of bath in or cool them down themselves, you want something that they can stand in but not something they can like drown in because they're not swimmers.
So how deep ducks. Would you say?
Like 15 centimeters max, maybe less. Even like a kid's paddling pool you can often put down and chickens will get in it and walk around. So that's another option. But I think the water on a timer is just the easiest way to go if you're not there.
What's next on your list?
Frozen treats.
Oh, yes. I've seen these. You've done like watermelon before.
Yeah, watermelon. So get a big watermelon, cut it into big chunks and freeze it. And then in the morning on a hot day, I'll pull a big chunk out, put it in the chicken coop, and then they will peck at it. And they're very enthusiastic because they want the watermelon, but it's frozen. So they got to like work hard.
Yeah. And you like put it on a mini steak. I don't know. Like a...
Oh, like... Yeah, okay. So,
or do you just chuck them in?
Usually with the big chunks of frozen watermelon, I put them on like a plant saucer. Like when you buy a pot and then you sit it on a saucer so it doesn't leak everywhere
inside.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have heaps of those around the place that I don't use as plant saucer. So I stick the watermelon on that because I don't really want all the dirt sticking to it.
Yeah.
Something like an apple I've done like on a steak, which works really well.
That's what I'm thinking of.
I would do the watermelon on a steak except for the fact it's so hard that like I couldn't impale it if I tried. But that's a really good way. Like when I see a watermelon and it's cheap, I just buy it and just get it in the freezer. And then they spend all day trying to get at it and keeps them cool.
And it's also entertaining.
It's entertainment, exactly. And put it in the shade, obviously, like under a tree. So it keeps them in the shade. They've got it. It's entertaining. Everyone's happy. And, you know, it's watermelon being so high in water means that even if they're not drinking heaps, they're actually still getting hydrated from the watermelon. So it's the best, it's absolutely the best hot weather treat to cool down.
Any other treats that you recommend, or is watermelon your fave?
Watermelon's my go-to, but the other one that works quite well is seeds and corn can be quite heating for animals. But what I sometimes do is get like a Tupperware container, fill it with water, and then throw in like a handful of seed or a handful of corn cobs, just even like frozen corn cobs or whatever, freeze that, then put the whole brick in the chicken yard and they want to get to the seeds in the corn because they love them. And they spend all day pecking at this ice block.
Okay.
So again, entertainment, cooling.
Hydration.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another one that's quite easy. And if you're a chicken keeper, you'll have seeds on hand. So you can do this literally right now. You don't have to go out and get your watermelon. Just got to be a little bit prepared because you've got to get the thing frozen.
Yeah.
But the night before, you know it's going to be a hot day. You could get this frozen. And the bigger the block, the longer it's going to last.
Nice.
So that makes it easy.
What have you got for us apart from frozen treats?
Well, I think that's really it. If you've got the shade, you've got their water sorted, you've got the ground wet, and you've got frozen treats, then I think you're nailing it.
Nice one.
Yeah. So the thing to look out for, though, of a heat-stressed chicken, this is what you don't want. Chickens should not be breathing through their mouth. If they are, they're too hot.
Okay.
That's a really easy first sign. Second sign is they'll hold their wings out from their body, and they look very odd walking around. Not like outstretched, like they're about to take flight, but like as if you were doing a chicken dance and you're in the upward motion of the chicken wing situation.
Okay. Okay.
You know, like
I guess it's like they're creating airflow, I guess.
That's exactly it. They're spreading their wings away from their body to get airflow under there, because otherwise it's like quite hot.
If you see a chicken that is in that heat stress mode, what is the quickest way or the safest way to cool the chick down?
Very good question. The best, safest, quickest is put their feet in cold water.
Okay.
Just their feet.
Like some ice blocks in a
Look, water honestly, or... if it was tap water, not like tap water that's been...
Like tap water, like it's running for a few seconds.
Exactly. Cool. So you're getting like the cool. That's probably going to do it. But in an ideal situation, you know, if you need to act quickly, just get the cold tap water. But if you can get ice from the house and put a bit of that in, brilliant.
Okay.
Sit their feet in that. That's going to cool them down very fast. That's the best way to deal with it. If they're panting, so they're not only open mouth breathing, but visibly panting like a dog does, this is the next stage of heat stress.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I would absolutely be getting that chicken in water with the feet. With the open mouth and the holding wings, if they had access to everything else and I was kind of watching them and they seemed normal, I'd be like, okay, we'll wet the ground a bit. We'll kind of let you do your thing. But if the panting starts, then I'm going to actively intervene and get my bucket of water. Yeah. But just, again, be careful not to wet the entire chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't get your hose out and go crazy. No. Bad idea.
Well, get your hose out and go crazy on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Just not on the bird. But yeah, if we've got the panting, we need to get it in the water. But, you know, like chickens, they're pretty smart in that they'll, if you give them the shade and you give them the frozen treats and they give them the water, they will, for the most part, manage this themselves. Like this is not something you need to be actively managing, as long as you've given the way to do it. If we're talking about 40 degrees or above, like that kind of like quite extreme heat stroke or quite extreme heat wave, that's the time that I would be consciously just watching them at, you know, in the middle of the afternoon if I could.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Because that is like a real danger zone.
I mean, I'm scared to ask this question, but what happens if it gets really bad?
They die.
Oh, okay. Shouldn't have asked that.
I
mean, it's good to know.
It's good to know. Well, that's the thing, right? Like this is like it's serious, you know. I don't know for certain because I don't know why this little chicken died, but I did have one chicken die on like a 40 degree day. Oh. And if I had to guess, I would say it was the heat, or she maybe had some underlying thing and then the heat like pushed her over the edge. But for the most part, I've always been able to manage all of them in a very non-stressful way because I have these things set up in advance. And honestly, that water timer situation is the best because when I'm at work, like I can't just not go to work because it's 40 degrees, but knowing that that water is going to come on, I think is such a lifesaver.
And great shout.
And having the trees, like the cooling ability of plants is not to be understated. So the more trees you can have, more plants you can have around your chickens is going to do a really good job as well.
So there was a little bit of a sad note to leave it on, but overall, I think from this conversation, it sounds like there is a bunch of really simple things that we can do. We just need to be thinking about them, have a little bit of foresight.
Exactly.
You know, get your ice, get your watermelon in the freezer, get your ice with your seeds in the freezer, be able to have those solutions so that when we do get those hot days, which do just pop up from time to time, that we're ready to go and we've got our solution at hand.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like most things in the garden. You really just want to be a couple of steps ahead, so when it happens you're not in like panic mode like, oh my god, I'm about to go to work and it's 40 degrees. Like you got a little plan, but like you say, it's easy.
Fabulous. Rooting for You is hosted by Elise and Tess, artwork by Lauren Janine. You can find us on Instagram at Rooting for You Pod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com, and remember, we are rooting for you.